Thank you for downloading from Richmond First United Methodist. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It comes from the story of Joseph. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You've heard a lot of talk about the name of Jesus. It's a quote from Shakespeare in Romeo and Juliet, I think it is, that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That the idea being that it doesn't really matter what you call a thing, as it'll still be the same thing. So everyone's attributed that thought to Shakespeare, but in fact he puts it on the lips of a young, kind of stupid teenager, and the rest of the play kind of shows us that in the world, that's not how it is. Is it that names do matter, that your family associations matter, and those things are important. The most recent member of my family's name is Arthur Lee. Lee is a family name passed down for generations, usually is a middle name. In fact, it's my middle name. I'm sure my niece didn't have that in mind. I'm sure she named him after my father, in fact, her grandfather, who has been very important in her life. Arthur, we don't know where it came from. And each time we give the name to members of the family, they all look at each other and go, why Arthur? Why Arthur? Have you had that conversation with members of the family or friends when you learn the why? And you expect an answer, and all we get from my sisters, well, we just liked Arthur. And somehow that doesn't seem like it's quite enough, does it? There ought to be something in a name. I remember that was probably of all the decisions you make as a baby is coming along, as you're talking about what are we going to call it. We seem to sweat and bleed over that more than all of those other decisions put together. When we named our first child, we wanted a name that had biblical roots. And we also wanted a name, we weren't sure how many kids we were going to have, and we didn't want to name our first child after either my father or Kim's father, for fear that later on we would have left somebody out. So we very carefully chose not to get a family name. We arrived at Daniel. And so after Danny was born, we announced the name to everyone. And I immediately got a call from my parents saying, "Your great-grandma was so, so happy that you named your first son after her husband." And I did. I had no idea. We always called him Otis, but I knew that he signed his checks D.O. Richmond, and it stands for Daniel Otis Richmond, and I accidentally named Danny after my great-grandfather. So when Michael finally came along, we knew we weren't going to have any more, but we decided let's pile all of the family names in there. So Michael's full name is Michael Donald William Nettleton, which does not fit on any bubble sheet in existence. We go other ways as we name our children as well. On my mother's side of the family, my grandmother, her name was Fanny Crosby Smith, named after the great hymn writer. You'll find her in the hymnal if you don't know any of those songs. Her father, his name was Benjamin Franklin Smith. And he named her brothers John Lafayette Smith, after the great French general of the American Revolution, and Benedict Arnold Smith. Don't ask, I don't know. He went by Arnold his entire life, as you can imagine. But so we name our children after, you know, people whom we admire. We know there's something in a name. Marion Mitchell Morrison's agent said that name will never do in showbiz. You'll need to come up with a better one. And so he came up with the name John Wayne. We didn't think that one was good enough, so everyone called him the Duke, right, in film. But if you can imagine going to a cowboy movie where Marion Morrison was playing the lead role, you know there's something in the name. And so when the time came that God sent his child to live among us, the stories differ. In Luke, an angel comes to Mary and tells her to give him the name Jesus. In Matthew, an angel comes to Joseph and tells him to give the child the name Jesus. What's important, probably, is to understand that in that culture, the father always gave the child the name. And in both of these stories, the father was not Joseph. This was a name given directly to his son by his heavenly father. You'll call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus was probably in its Hebrew form was Joshua, which means God saves or God delivers his people. It's a heroic name. It goes back, if you know the stories of Joshua, it goes back to that day when Israel, God's people, entered the promised land. And who was their leader as they crossed the River Jordan and headed into the promised land? We know mostly that he pit the Battle of Jericho, but Joshua was that great leader who finally took his people into the land that God has promised him. It's a heroic name. It talks about Israel's past. It also talks about Israel's future. God will deliver. There is a hope built into this name that says what God has done before, he will do again. He will deliver his people into the place he has promised. But it's also a humble name. You'll have all kinds of Joshuas running around in the days of our Savior. I don't know about you, it still kind of jars me when I look up at a baseball scoreboard and see the name of Jesus up there. It's still a popular name, of course, in Latin American countries, Jesus. Most of us don't use it anymore, though. It's been used, and it has taken a special kind of honor. But it was a humble name to start. And sometimes I think we skip ahead of the story at Advent time and at Christmas time. We know how it ends, how it will end. And we skip over how simply and humbly it began. I remember my first job. I was working at McDonald's, and my manager said, "You can call me Dave." And I said, no, sir, I really can't. Because I've been raised by my adults to address the other adults in my life with sir and ma'am and mister and missus and or doctor or reverend. But eventually I broke down and the honorifics fell away and he became just Dave. And we got along okay. We could have conversations because that kind of air of authority had dripped away. He was still my boss, don't mind you, but it's what we call kind of a flat structure. It's a humble name. I remember when I first started getting mail that said Reverend Bruce Nettleton on it, I kept trying to shove it back into the mailbox because that seemed like just a little bit too much name for who I felt like I was at the time. Some of you have honorifics attached to your name and wear them proudly, and others wear them humbly. But Jesus, Joshua, just a simple name, a baby's name, a boy's name, a human name. We learned to call him all other sorts of things. His disciples called him Rabbi, Master, Lord. His enemies called him Rebel, Pretender, Blasphemer. Throughout his lifetime and over the years that followed, we learned to call him Savior, Redeemer, Christ. Emmanuel, which means God with us, Lamb of God. The second Adam, the Son of God. We celebrate Him as the One who comes, as the Alpha and the Omega and the Son of Man, the Judge on the white throne. John calls Him the Word, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Light of the World, the Good Shepherd. We call Him the Bright Morning Star. We celebrate Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we sing along with Scripture in the great classical piece, He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But you can call Him Jesus, because He started so humbly, a child in a manger, to be raised as a boy, as far as we know, like any other human boy. It started so simple, so humble. It's only later that the name of Jesus took on its true power. Here's how Paul wrote it in the second chapter of his letter to the Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, and being found in human likeness, in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, this is probably the greatest therefore ever written. Therefore, God has exalted Him to the highest place and given Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Master of everything. You can call Him Jesus.
To hear more sermons, find out more about us, and see what's going on in our community, visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org. This has been Richmond First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.